It is being called the biggest tragedy to date involving migrants crossing the English Channel. At least 27 migrants bound for Britain died Wednesday when their inflatable boat sank. Three were children. Now, this is hardly an isolated incident, as refugees flee poverty and conflict in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia. And now, the leaders of France and Britain are pointing fingers at each other over who's responsible. For some context, let's talk now to Michael Bohanic. He's senior counsel at Human Rights Watch and focuses on juvenile justice and refugee and migrant children. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, we have been hearing about the crisis of migration since at least 2015. How does what we're seeing now compare to what's been happening over these several years?
Well, I guess the first thing is that people have been traveling to northern France since at least the last 5 or 6 years, and in fact, well before then. Famously settling in large numbers, or at least gathering in large numbers, in what was often somewhat derogatorily called the jungle, a very, very large migrant camp on the edge of Calais in northern France. And the reasons for them leaving their home countries, traveling through Europe, and trying to get to the UK haven't changed all that much in broad strokes. I'm consistently hearing people tell me about repression in their home countries, family members being targeted, death threats, in addition to the sort of war, the conflict, and poverty that are obviously part of the backdrop. I think what really has changed is only the tactics that French and British authorities are using to respond.
Okay, I understand. And I do want to ask about the European government's response. But maybe first of all, just staying on these human beings here, we know many of these are children and they're coming with families. Can you help us out with this, with what this looks like? Can you put a human face on these numbers of who is making this journey?
Sure. And I guess that's another thing that really has been shifting over time, which is more children traveling alone, more families traveling with young children. I talked to a 14-year-old boy a couple of months ago who left his home country. His parents had been imprisoned. He's coming from Eritrea, and he was looking around at a climate of repression and facing the really high likelihood that he would be drafted into the army and would probably die as a result. And so he and his family took a really difficult decision for him to leave and travel to Europe. And he made his way to France eventually and was in Calais hoping to cross the channel the way that so many people have in the last few months. When I asked him why he wouldn't stay in France or why he didn't stay in Italy, it's a combination of reasons. And some of them have to do with the ideas that people come with. In his case, he spoke English, but not French. He had family members in England, not in France. He also was talking about being evicted every other day by the French police. He was talking about having them take his tent and slash it with knives. He was talking about having to find a sleeping bag because the police had taken one just a few days before, and so he'd been sleeping in the cold. And all of these things also, of course, make a difference. He can't comprehend that France is a safe place for him where he could seek asylum if his only contact with the French state is one where police are harassing him, are telling him to move on, or telling him he's not wanted, and are taking the very, very meager things that he has that he needs to survive.
Wow. And so you and your colleagues at Human Rights Watch are working on behalf of people like this teenager, and you're seeing this diplomatic spat, right, between the French and the UK. The British want the French to stop the migrants from crossing the channel. The French say they're going to try to reach the UK anyway. And you know, we're seeing invitations being withdrawn, just kind of this diplomatic tension. What would you say to these governments about this crisis and how to address it?
Well, the diplomatic spat is really beside the point. This is turning into a bit of a sideshow that is really a distraction and really unnecessary. But I think the bigger thing is for all countries in the European Union, together with the United Kingdom, to sit down and figure out a better, fairer way of receiving asylum seekers and processing asylum claims. Right, it shouldn't be that people feel driven away from the first countries they arrive in the European Union and then end up feeling like they have no choice but to take these really perilous journeys. There should be some way of figuring out, right, if I've got relatives in Germany, why don't I go there? If I've got relatives in France, why can't I stay there? If I've got relatives in the UK, why can't I get a visa to go there and then try to figure out my asylum situation?
Michael Bohenik is a senior counsel for Human Rights Watch. Thank you.
Thank you.